It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli.
Eating cheese.
That's right, folks. It's your daily sports dump, and I'm your host, Joe Canelli. That was my wife, Molly Erdman, saying that she's eating cheese. And she is. And that's how we'll start the show. It's not a day for a lot of sports jokes, obviously, if you've been following any news outlet. And I'm also, you may have noticed, calling Molly Erdman just Molly Erdman instead of her sports moniker, which is
very sensitive.
Well, and it actually leads into what we can talk about today, because obviously today many people in the sports world and everywhere are mourning Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the other people in that helicopter crash who passed away yesterday. Molly's nickname is the Sports Widow, which does not mean, obviously, is in the context of this, that's not what we're referring to.
Right.
And that kind of points to the balance that we're in today. Not us necessarily, but all of the sports world, where sports is ultimately superficial. And when something very real happens in a sports world context, it puts everything into like a different focus. Like we do the jokey show of calling, you know, you're the sports widow because I watch so much sports.
Right.
But then in the context of like real life, it's like, oh, there is a
yes
sports widow in this circumstance.
Yes.
And this is Super Bowl week.
Right.
Which is normally
all they'd be talking about is Super Bowl, right?
And really, the overblown media presence at the Super Bowl kind of exemplifies how superficial and dumb all of that is.
Right.
So now they've got this huge media force out and ready, and now they're going to be reporting all day on a somber news fact.
Yeah.
And to make it more complicated, it's Kobe Bryant who is
complicated.
Exactly.
Yes.
This isn't honestly, and I'm just going to pull the name of a Laker who's, if this was LeBron, who has really no past transgressions anywhere close to what Kobe does, there is no confusing it at all.
There would be no asterisk by
there would be.
Yeah.
And I think for a number of reasons, I would be much more shaken if it was LeBron. And this, again, maybe points to the entertainment element of it. I like LeBron better as a player and his game.
And he's still active.
And he's still active. But again, a lot of times with these guys, yes, like, and especially how this happened with Kobe, going to his daughter's basketball game.
Yeah.
There's a realization of, oh, this is a person also.
Yes.
This would be a tragedy on human terms, no matter what. It is for all the people involved. But then on top of it, you're like, oh, this is someone who really I put him in my fantasy lineup, or I got mad when he beat my team. You know, you looked at it in an entertainment way.
Right.
And forget a little of the reality of it. So I think it's really, really weird for this to happen at this point, this week, where we're now going to see this big convergence, which is usually a celebration of the superficial. There's really nothing less meaningful than sports. I know all the lessons that it teaches.
But professional sports are entertainment.
They're entertainment. Yeah. Big money and they're big companies, and this isn't mom and pop stuff. It's like the networks.
Yeah.
And now they're dealing with a tragic and complicated story that is real and hits on issues that transcend sports.
Yes.
Human rights, essentially.
Yes.
Are kind of folded into all of this. And we were talking about it. So we get it, you know, I'm not doing a eulogy of Kobe, and there are many of the obituaries already out there. But I think what I want to talk about is how they're going to deal with this weird thing and how the media and how Twitter, if what happened to Kobe, his court case and everything, if that had happened now, he probably would not have recovered as well. Now, we don't know in 20 years what all these Me Too people are going to be doing.
Right.
Louis C.K. could be hosting a show somehow, you know, like,
right.
And the stories will be written of what he did, but he'll still have the show.
Right.
Perhaps. Or he'll fade away.
Right. We don't know the long game of this.
But we certainly know that it would have been handled differently in the moment than it was.
Yeah.
Him flying back and forth to playoff games from court. It just it was a media circus as it was, but it went away after the acquittal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it would have stuck around a little longer.
Right.
But what Kobe, he admitted what happened.
Yeah.
He settled in a civil suit, and you made the point that this is horrible as a point. But even his grudging admittance of what he did is further than anyone has gone recently.
Yeah.
It's like
we get so many non-apologies.
Yes.
They're like, I'm sorry someone felt
exactly
that something went some
exactly
way, but it didn't.
And
yeah.
And there is no condoning any of Kobe's actions in that regard. He settled civilly. That doesn't take away what he did. And he acknowledged what he did.
Right.
And unfortunately, in context, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Only because he did it. You would expect that that's the baseline
decency. Yeah.
And that's really what it was. But that even stands out because there's so much indecency.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the other thing. Like, so since he retired, he had four daughters since that incident.
Yes.
And I get the argument. You don't say because I have a daughter.
Right.
Your life alters your perception.
And for some of it, just kids in general, I think.
Yes.
Becoming a parent changes the
of
way
course
you see other human beings.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the context of his crime or alleged crime or whatever it is. So here's the thing I noticed about him. And much of this, yes, can be a big PR thing. He has millions of dollars. He almost certainly had a PR company working to repair his image.
Sure.
Right from when that happened. But he's taking his daughter to a basketball game. He's taking other players to the game. There can be redemption. I don't think Kobe Bryant today would do what Kobe Bryant when he was 19 or 22 or whatever it was did then. That doesn't make what he did
God,
then.
Was it that long ago?
It was 16 years ago.
Oh.
So he was 27, maybe 26. But he didn't have any of his kids. And so I believe since then, and certainly since he's been a father, he seems to have been much more progressive in terms of dealing. He kind of modeled himself after Jordan a lot, including the Republicans Buy Sneakers 2 theory for a while. And I've read some stuff in the past few days. Jemele Hill wrote some stuff, how he kind of allowed himself to be convinced of the injustices of the world. Because this is a kid who basically grew up in Italy.
Wait, time out. I don't understand this Republicans Buy Shoes thing.
I'm sorry. Jordan years ago.
Yeah.
Jordan is apolitical.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't take
stands.
Because
of that.
Because Republicans Buy Shoes too.
Okay.
And Kobe modeled everything in his game after Jordan, including the apolitical stuff.
Right.
But late in his career, he became more engaged. I think he was open and to learning.
Yeah.
And that, in that way, I think, separates him. Maybe he truly was. He seemed, I mean, is he contrite that he got caught or contrite that he did it? I don't know. But there seemed to be contrition and there seemed to be more active social stuff by him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get people saying he got an Oscar and he did this thing. It's a complicated thing.
Right.
Like, he's 27. Does the rest of his life, if he does a lot of good stuff, does it undo it? No. Does it make up for it? No. But is it in its own way commendable?
Right.
You know, because otherwise, if it's not, then why live the rest of your life after that point change?
I think this is a really, the timing of this is also interesting within the era of Me Too, because it's bringing up a point of which a lot of people have brought up, is like these people who have these accusations against them and are proven to be true, like, are they written off forever? And I think that's on a lot of people's minds is like, well, we, you know, and to me, it's, there's no like black or white to this. It depends on each thing, because, you know, there are some people who are, you know, have these transgressions and then, you know, have a PR team that's like, here's what you need to do to fix your image. And it's the difference between like, is that what's happening, or do they truly feel, you know, well, no, I want to make this right.
Right.
And I don't know. I'll tell you my feeling about is that this is very complicated, and that it's so, like, I have never liked Kobe.
Sure.
And I've always, like, to me, my first association with him was always like, that. Oh, he's a rapist. However, I was very shocked. And even before I knew his daughter was with him, I was very shocked and sad when I saw, you know, Joe and I were in Chicago over the weekend and we were parting ways.
I was getting sandwiches. You were taking our daughter back to where we were staying.
And he like called me because he had gotten out his phone and he like flagged me down to show me this CNN headline pop up. And I was very sad. And like I said, it was before I knew any of the circumstances.
Yep.
And
that's a visceral reaction where you have no time to, you just, that's it.
Yeah.
It's a natural reaction.
And I think, you know, what, not, I don't want to say realization, because I think I knew this to be true, but like, not everyone is good or bad.
Right.
And there's so many things to think about. And what's really destroying me over this is how quickly, like, it seems like whenever there is a big, you know, a famous person dies.
Yeah.
There's like these stages.
Yes.
Where it's like everyone comes out and talks about them. And then within a couple of days or maybe a day, stuff is like, well, but this person, he did this.
Yes.
And, or the like, what about all the other people who
in
died?
The helicopter, which, yes.
And I get all of that. What is amazing to me about yesterday is that it happened so fast. Like, it felt instantaneous from, like, grief to, like, yeah, but he raped someone. And then, like, what about the other people in the helicopter? And it's like, you know, yes, these are all valid points, but you have to let people, like, express
but that's
themselves.
But that's the speed of social media.
Yes.
And the immediacy of it.
I said to Joe yesterday that even after the past 3 years of the post-Trump era of social media and how toxic and awful it is, this may be the thing that gets me off social media.
That throws off how quickly and crazy it went.
Oh, my God. And everyone's so mad at everyone. No, there's no right thing that you can say about it.
So that brings me to the example where I was listening to Dan Lebatard's show, and he was talking about how when people have this extreme grief and surprise, they don't know what to do with it right away.
Yeah.
And the anger, they lash out at something. So much of this is people not knowing what to do with that emotional tension and looking at one thing and saying, that's not how I want to react to it, and going after them. And yesterday, when we left, we were staying with a friend, and our daughter and their daughter, from the second we got there, were playing every single second.
Yeah.
And our daughter's a year older, so in that dynamic, usually, you know, they're having fun, and our kid's a little more mature. So when we say goodbye and we wanted to take a picture, and the other little kid, she would not. She was angry. She said, no, I'm not going to take a picture, because we were leaving. And in the context of this thing happening, it's the same thing where she was mad. She was very sad that we were going.
Right.
And her play friend was going. And she didn't know what to do with that sadness. So she just lashed out at the only thing that happened. And that's exactly what's happening on the internet with people where she only had one stimulus, which is, will you take a picture?
Right.
She only had one way to react, which was with anger against it, because she had this emotion in her. I think that's what's happening to people who go on the internet. They see 15 comments. There's one that doesn't fit their template of what they believe.
Right.
They don't know what to do with this emotion. And so they strike out at that person.
Yeah.
Now, that could be just the general definition of Twitter.
I think it does expose something that I've been aware of but hadn't really I think I saw someone kind of bring it to. It's like, it, not everything needs a reaction, like, and there's also this sense that, like, there's not, I forget what it's called, but it's not like a pie chart where it's like, if you care this much about basketball, Venn then you diagram. Don't care what's going on in the rest of the
right,
world.
Right.
And it's like you're allowed to care about it. Because, you know, there'll be something that happens like with Oscar nominations. So like when the Oscar nominations came out and there were no women nominated for Best Director.
Yeah.
So there's all these tweets about that and the outrage. And then, of course, as is fitting, the next stage of that cycle is someone being like, children are being held at the border. But yeah, let's talk about the Oscar nominations right. some more. It's like, right. come on. I can care about more than one thing at once. And
yes.
I can feel more than one thing at once about someone.
Yep.
And like, I understand that social media kind of whittles things down to little bites, but that doesn't mean there's not more going on right. behind the scenes.
Well, one of the perceived, and I think, advantages of civilization is downtime. And that's where superficial stuff comes in. Yes. 3,000 years ago, there was no entertainment. Oh, there even was then.
Sure.
There even was then because people needed that.
Yes.
Because life cannot just be do this, do that, you know.
Find food, eat food,
crap food, fight war, die.
Yeah.
You have to have three laughs in there or something, you know, like to.
Yeah.
And that's the human experience, is looking for more than just eating and shitting. And so whatever the entertainment may be, We put importance into it,
right.
maybe more than it needs, but that's the fact of the matter. Life is made up of things that do really matter and things that don't really matter. And sometimes the thing we mix them up a little bit because
right.
there's so much shit going on.
And when it comes to someone like Kobe, something like sports, you know, it is superficial. The reason it is important to so many people is that it's a constant.
Yeah.
So like, especially, you know, Joe talks about this all the time, about memories that he associates with certain games and sporting events, starting from when you're a child and you watch sports with your dad.
Yes.
Or you go on a first date to a basketball game. Like, they become woven into things.
Did you ever go on a first date to a basketball game?
No, I just meant hypothetically.
Because I don't know where you got that from. I mean, I never heard that. I've not been on any first dates at basketball games. Are we getting off track?
Yeah, I was just speaking hypothetically of like
why sports are important to us.
And why people have immediate reactions. So that, like I said, even though I have never been a Kobe fan, I was immediately sad because
yes.
I think about like, oh, I remember like the summer before Joe moved here, I was watching the Lakers playoffs
yes.
and I sort of became a Lakers fan very briefly for about 2 months. Like,
it's
milestones of your own life
yeah.
that kind of get mapped against, you know, things like that.
Yes. And Lebatard, you know, he's my favorite. And I think he's one of the people in sports who is equipped to actually deal with this, because he's not afraid to talk about things beyond the
right.
sports of it. But he was saying, how many other things, or maybe Stu was, which would be even crazier, how many things do you jump up and down about in your life?
Right, right.
Right? Where you're like, I mean, you've seen the things I do in sports, you know,
yes.
the motions and leaving the room, turning off the TV for Nebraska games, those goddamn, see?
Yeah.
Just in that. And so there's obviously that emotional investment into it. So that's exactly right. When someone insults Kobe, they're insulting that great moment where you and your dad hugged because he saw the Laker championship. Or, God,
yeah.
I hate to bring Red Sox fans. Let's say Cubs fans,
okay.
which is better because they're a barely better brand of fan. But, yeah, your grandfather got to see that Cubs championship, and the next summer he passed away. And then somebody rips on the Cubs. They're ripping on your grandfather in some way.
Right.
And so that's where people, you know,
yeah.
without knowing it,
yeah.
slash out.
And I also think just someone dying young is jarring. And in a way, now, most of us aren't taking private helicopters.
No.
But, you know, it's we have enough tragedy of, like, people, you know, getting sick and dying young and stuff like that. And there is something about that of, like, to me personally, when something like this happens, you know, I picture what it was like when they left the house that day.
Yes.
And it's like, here's just another day.
Right.
And, you know, and I mean, yeah, it's awful.
Well, it's and this specific story. Yes. Athlete young hasn't even gotten to give his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah.
Parent of a child who's with him.
Yeah. Going to a basketball game. He's an integral part of.
Yes. And then you mentioned the helicopter. So there's also this element of, like, privilege.
Right.
And the police.
They got special.
Grounded their helicopters yesterday. And
yeah.
he got special permission. Like,
so
all
then
of
there's
it
like this hubris thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a weird, and it is a really, just from an outside perspective, all of the other elements of it. For example, Roberto Clemente, do you know, he was a baseball player. He died on a plane crash.
Yeah.
He was a saint, this guy. He died on a plane crash going to Puerto Rico to help earthquake victims.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, and he had 3,000 hits exactly. The previous year, he got his 3,000th hit. In a few ways, it mirrors Kobe, because Kobe just got passed by LeBron. Like, there are these monuments. Like, that is an uncomplicated...
Yeah.
Guy doing charity
100%
work.
100% tragedy.
This is 100% tragedy, but with these like weird caveats of that make the story different and interesting in a way that I think challenges how it's treated.
Yeah.
And because it has all these complications, if someone points out the fact that Kobe got special permission with his helicopter and da-da-da-da-da, then someone else goes, you can't how can you take somebody... You know, it is a weird, it's totally intriguing and terrifying and awful and just almost something you can't turn away from. In a way, it's good with all this other political crap going on to not have to watch that. It's tragic that this is what it is, you know.
Right.
And again... All of it is against the backdrop of the biggest media event in sports in America.
Yeah.
So I wonder, today obviously is going to be day of tributes and everything.
How are they going to transition?
Tomorrow is, to me, more interesting of if it's just... Now, the Super Bowl, you know they're going to take a moment of silence probably. It's just too big of a thing not to...
When we came into LAX last night, did you notice that the pillars
were
purple and gold?
Madison Square Garden was.
Yeah.
Here's just a very interesting and intriguing thing. So, Kobe, do you know his two numbers he wore in his career?
24 and something else.
And 8.
Okay.
So, in basketball games, there's a 24-second clock. So, at the beginning of all these games...
I heard about this game last night.
So, here's the other interesting thing. Only 2 years ago, they started a new rule where you have 10 seconds to get over the halfway point line.
Uh-huh.
They changed it to 8 because they want to quicken up the game.
Uh-huh.
So one team took a 24-second violation, and the other took an 8-second violation.
Yeah.
Again, those are just those random weird things where Kobe passes away, basketball superstar, wore two numbers that are 24 and 8, which happen to be the only two holding ball violations you can have. Like, what a crazy thing.
Yeah.
That's a Matrix-type thing where you're like, all right, this is too weird.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it all comes down to, you know, the tragedy and again, I'm very interested, and it's too bad because it would be interesting to see what Kobe ended up doing. He was taking different paths. He did seem to be kind of progressive.
He was a big WNBA supporter.
That's the thing. Now, part of me, again, you wonder, does he want, because he just this week said some WNBA players could break the barrier to play in the NBA.
I was just talking. Remember I talked mentioned that a while back?
Yes.
Yeah.
His daughter looked like him as a player.
Yeah.
Is he thinking, you know, pave the way for her?
I'm sure
you know, like.
And I just read a little about this stuff, and I certainly got that sense that
he was a trailblazer because he came in at 17.
Yeah.
Even before LeBron, you know. Kevin Garnett maybe came the year before him. But he was, you know, one of the first of those. I wonder if he was considering that.
Yeah.
And again, and her being his daughter makes it more interesting that way. Crazy. I don't know. I mean, ultimately, I had the same reaction as you. And again, if Kobe had not been passed away, the jokes we would be telling about him would be as you know, dark as anything. But then it changes all of the stuff.
I also think about Michael Jackson, because I was thinking about like other shocking deaths.
Yeah.
And
that's a good parallel.
He's one person who like everyone's like, yeah, he was doing some not good stuff. We're still going to play his songs.
Yeah.
Like there are some people And I know that there are some people who feel very strongly like, no, we should, he should be off the list.
Here's the thing. Gary Glitter, who was a child abuser, had the song, na 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 na.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's not a song you listen to on a playlist or whatever. But I will not listen to Mamas and Papas songs.
Yeah.
I actually should just delete them all because I am so disgusted with Papa John Phillips and what a horrible person he was. So if one of those songs comes on, I skip it. I do not skip Michael Jackson songs. And it's like, and again, you think artists, painters, most of them were painting 14-year-old naked women.
Well, so, and this is the territory we, and this, I had this thought last night of like, probably, and you talk about, what's Roberto Clemente?
Yes.
Is that his name? Someone has a problem, and I don't mean this in a lighthearted way. Like, there, anyone who dies, there is probably someone who that is very triggering for.
Yes.
There's everyone's got some beef with someone or some issue, on one scale or another.
Yes.
And it raises a lot of stuff, and some of them we know about, and I bet a whole lot more we don't know about.
Most we do not.
Right.
That's the thing about life that you, like, as you live longer, you realize how much is known and how much is unknown.
And so what a lot of people were talking about yesterday is like, well, you know, for not only the woman who was, you know,
the victim,
assaulted by him, but, you know, rape survivors everywhere, that it was
right.
kind of a triggering situation.
The celebration
situation.
Of a, yes.
And I 100% get that. And I think that that happens all the time because there are people for sure who have died, who
have
like
done
someone out there
know.
Is like, no one even knows what this person did.
That's
to me.
Exactly right.
And everyone's talking about how amazing they are, and
yes.
no one even knows.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that's worse than the current situation. I'm just saying like, it's not cut and dry. People are not good and bad, and everything is very complicated.
A very high percentage of priests who have died probably have that going on somewhere.
Yeah, but it's interesting because the reason I brought up Michael Jackson is one thing that's problematic is that I feel like there are some people who they're like, well, they're so iconic, we can't let this thing, this bad part of their past get in the way.
Right.
Well, and I think Michael Jackson's music, like at our daughter's camp last year, the like 9-year-old boys did a routine to a Michael Jackson song.
Yep.
And I was like, this is a little tone deaf, isn't it?
Yep.
But it's so ingrained.
Yes.
That, you know, people are like, yeah, I know, but come on, Billie Jean's such a good song.
And Michael Jackson had a PR machine that was keeping these stories down and everything. And so we don't know how much if we had all of the real story, maybe nobody would play his music.
And Bill Clinton is another person.
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby, I feel like people are...
They did, but that's also when. When did the allegations come out? Now the cancel culture, as they're saying, if these... Strangely, if Michael lived his whole life without these allegations and then they came out, would it be more impactful than if they had been along for 25 years, which seems, it doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, it's all the timing of when you're born, I guess, because 50 years before that, these weren't even stories.
No, this was just how it is.
This was exactly.
Yeah.
And nobody, yes, you're right. Nobody knew about it. So it's very complicated.
It is.
And there's no, you know, there are, again, for a podcast like this is not a jokey one. Although I will say, no matter where Kobe is, he is definitely not passing.
Nice.
There you go. That's about, that's the most I can do on that subject. But yeah, dying young makes it more tragic. The other people makes it more tragic.
The family he's leaving behind.
Makes it
more,
they
have a new baby, right? Like.
Absolutely. There are, who will never know her father.
It's interesting. I hadn't really thought about it. I was not terribly aware of Kobe's family situation.
Sure.
But there is something that feels right and about him having four daughters.
Yes. Yes. And I did hear in an interview the thing of like, I guess this is why people have, but he was like, I wanted to have a son, so we had one more. And then I hate when people say that because that means the last one, like,
was like a failed attempt.
That's
like
right.
But I also read something where someone was saying to him, like, well, are you going to keep trying for... And he was like, I don't have to. Like, my daughter is going to carry on my legacy.
Yeah.
You know, and which is true. And yeah.
Yeah. His legacy is, yes, he's a forever legacy guy anyway. It's nutso. Nutso, but so. Yeah. All righty. Well, tomorrow I'm going to take my cue off the rest of the media world. And
I'll say one other thing.
I
actually think with the Super Bowl, we're talking about, like, when are we going to transition into talking more about the Super Bowl? I think it's actually good that that transition needs to happen, because how much do we have to drive into the ground this, you know, what's happened in the, and it, like,
bad there, analogy.
There's, oh God, sorry. I'm sorry.
Go on.
Like, you know, let's pay tribute and investigate what's happening, but it doesn't need to be.
Hey, they started the games after 9/11.
Right.
You know, that was the big thing, was let's get the games back up and playing. And
with the news coverage, like,
yes,
there's only so much you can cover. And then it's like, okay.
That's exactly,
you know,
right. That's exactly right. Yeah. The strange and funny thing, another just last thing I remembered, is when we were talking about in the car ride with the Uber driver about the obituary and everything,
yeah,
and how the people have, I mean, they had those obituaries out for Kobe,
yeah,
in minutes.
It's weird, right?
It is weird that even, but if you're that level of celebrity, it's like, if you're a superstar, it doesn't matter what age you are. They've got your obituary ready.
Right.
If you're a young person and you're not a superstar, probably not. If you're an old person and not a superstar, probably.
Right.
But if you are a big enough superstar, they've written your obituary.
Right.
Isn't that so weird, though? Like, you get to a point where,
yeah,
it's like, boy, am I famous enough to have my
obituary
written
somewhere?
Now, he retired a couple years ago, so
a
lot of that is...
So they compiled a lot of that
exactly,
information and,
exactly,
and stuff like
and
that.
And there really,
yeah,
wasn't much... I mean, he's, you know, his family stuff was what came after that and his other pursuits, but in that way, most of it was already written. All right, this was a good conversation. It may have not been the funniest episode we've done, but
no.
I think if you're looking for some considered discussion back and forth, well, why am I saying this at the end? They've already heard it.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, well, at least it had a really dumb part.
All right,
we'll be back tomorrow, or
bye.
At least I will. Bye.
I'll eat cheese.